This is John Cargo from the town of Caro, New York. I'm the president of the Caro Historical Society, and you're listening to WGXC Acura 90.7 FM Hands-On Radio.
Tune in to the WGXC Monday Morning Show, presented to you by yours truly, Simon Says. Playing music as it is and reading news as it was. Every Monday, tune in.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Tune in to All Together Now, WGXC's collaborative hour-long news show at 6 p.m., featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Tune in to learn more about the issues that affect communities throughout the Capital Region and the Hudson Valley.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, October 22, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The Trump administration moves to narrow the definition of sexual identity. Also on the Monday rundown, is climate change causing a shift eastward for Tornado Alley? Plus, Election Day should find more polling places on Nevada tribal lands. Now, our top story, the Trump administration is considering narrowly defining gender as a biological, immutable condition determined by genitalia at birth. The New York Times reports that's the most drastic move yet in a government-wide effort to roll back recognition and protections of transgender people under federal civil rights law. The Times notes a series of decisions by the Obama administration loosened the legal concept of gender. Now the Department of Health and Human Services is spearheading an effort to establish a legal definition under Title IX, the federal civil rights law that bans gender discrimination in education programs that receive government financial assistance. That according to a memo obtained by the Times.
More than 1.5 million Pennsylvanians still live in poverty, and of the 3.5 million are near poor.
The Pennsylvania Poverty Snapshot, released by the Coalition for Low-Income Pennsylvanians, or CLIP, and the Coalition on Human Needs, showed a slight decrease in poverty last year, but more than half of Pennsylvanians earning less than $20,000 a year and 40% of those earning up to $35,000 spend at least half of their income on housing alone, leaving very little for other necessities. According to Reverend Sandy Strauss, co-chair of CLIP, Pennsylvania's low minimum wage is part of the problem.
Wages have been stagnant for such a long time, and while our unemployment rate is fairly low, a lot of folks are earning less than they used to earn in terms of inflation.
The report says that in 60% of poor Pennsylvania households, one or more people work at least part-time. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And a proposed rule from the Federal Communications Commission could cripple funding for local community media outlets. More from Eric Tegeloff.
The outlets, also known as public, educational, and government access television, make up thousands of channels across the country and broadcast a variety of content, such as distance education courses and candidate forums. Cable companies currently fund them in exchange for use of public lands to hook up consumers to their services. Under the proposal, local municipalities would have to pick up the price tag. Martin Jones, who heads Metro East Community Media in Gresham, says this could seriously hamper people's access to information.
They could destroy the ability to deliver transparency and government to everyday citizens by our government channels. When we broadcast council meetings that most people can't leave work to go to, the school board meetings, the water commission meetings, the planning commission meetings.
Under the FCC proposal, a monetary value would be assigned to them and included in what's known as a franchise fee paid by cable companies and capped at 5% of their gross revenue. The agency has argued this fee and in-kind contributions impede innovation and are a barrier to the market for cable companies.
The public can comment on this proposal through November the 15th on the FCC's website. A new study shows Tornado Alley is on the move with an increase in tornado activities heading eastward. Tremal Gomes tells us that's impacting areas more vulnerable and unprepared.
According to a study in the journal Climate and Atmospheric Science, tornadoes have been decreasing over the past few decades in typical places such as Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas, but increasing in Indiana, Illinois, and the Badger State. The study's lead author is Victor Gensini, a professor of atmospheric sciences at Northern Illinois University.
It's very hard for us to say with any degree of certainty that this is due to climate change. It could just be the plains have been quieting down and other areas of the east are heating up, and this is sort of a natural cyclical cycle that will then transition back to the plains someday.
Gensini says the biggest increase in tornado activity is in states along the Mississippi River. He warns the shift could mean more fatalities as it encroaches on areas where more people live.
During the 2016 election, two Nevada Native American tribes, the Pyramid Lake Paiutes and the Walker River Paiutes, won a federal lawsuit to get voter registration sites and polling places on tribal lands. Catherine Davis-Young reports in this election, even more polling places will be available throughout Nevada's Native American communities.
Stacy Montooth, who is enrolled with the Walker River Paiute Nation and works for the Reno Sparks Indian Colony, says opening up more voting sites for Native Americans is a critical change. She says her grandmother, who is over 90 and doesn't drive, in previous elections would have to have a family member drive her more than 70 miles round trip to cast a ballot. Montooth says that's a common story in Native American families.
Part of the federal government's plan when they created reservations was to put our ancestors in isolated areas. So our relatives who are in Moapa, our relatives that are in Fort McDermott, they really, really have a challenge to get to the polling place.
A survey by the Claremont Graduate University showed that in the 2016 election, Native American communities in Nevada, which had polling places on tribal lands, saw voter turnout up to 24% higher than those that didn't.
By the way, Native Americans were not granted full citizenship in the U.S. until 1924. Nevada's home to more than 30,000 Native Americans and more than 20 federally recognized tribes. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week, News and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a mostly sunny Monday with a high near 48 and a low around 37. Tuesday, there's a 40% chance of rain after 8 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny skies are in the forecast with a high near 50 and a low around 38. Wednesday, the sun returns with a high near 44 and a low around 28. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported Creative Community Radio. I'm Tom Rowe. You've tuned into the WGXC News Update. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Debating about debates is all the rage in political circles just before the November 6th general election. Andrew Cuomo, the incumbent Democrat, still has not agreed to debate Republican Mark Molinaro or the three others on the ballot. Former Syracuse Mayor Stephanie Miner, running on the Serve America movement line, Green Party candidate Howard Hawkins, and the Libertarian Party's Larry Sharp are also willing to debate. On October 19th, Cuomo announced his terms to debate Molinaro, but the Republican called the last-minute offer a, quote, staged fraud, unquote, and complained that Cuomo's idea included no television cameras and would only be broadcast in New York City. In other debate news, on October 19th, Republican incumbent John Faso and Democrat Antonio Delgado held the first of four debates before their congressional election. That came after Faso appeared with two other candidates, independent Diane Neal and Green Party's Steve Greenfield, October 16th at a forum in Delaware County. Delgado's campaign said they told organizers he could not attend well in advance, but Faso's campaign issued a press release with an attack about Delgado's empty chair at the event. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, meanwhile, is pulling out of her only debate at the last minute. Gillibrand, a Democrat, canceled her debate October 21st in Saratoga with Republican rival Shelley Farley on October 19th. She says she won't debate because the forum's broadcaster, Spectrum News and New York One, are in a labor dispute with Charter Communications. Quote, I am deeply committed to the working men and women of the labor community and support the 1,800 members of the IBEW who went on strike for fair pay and benefits, and I will not cross a de facto picket line scheduled for Sunday. That is why I will withdraw from participating in the Spectrum News New York One debate this Sunday unless the workers' strike of Charter has been resolved, unquote. Her opponent implied that Gillibrand had better things to do than defend her Senate seat. Quote, Gillibrand's refusal to debate and explain her lack of accomplishments during her 12 years in office to the 19 million plus New Yorkers she's abandoned during her quest to run for president is unacceptable, unquote, Farley said. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that on October 18th, Ulster County Executive Michael Hine signed a law banning plastic bags at most retail establishments in the county. He said the Bring Your Own Bag Act will, quote, encourage people to use reusable bags as they do their shopping, as they live their life, just as they did, by the way, for generations and generations, unquote. When the law takes effect in mid-2019, most retailers won't give out plastic bags for customers' purchases, and instead, customers who don't bring reusable bags will be charged 5 cents each for recyclable paper bags. Ulster County is the first in the state banning plastic bags countywide, while Suffolk County has a 5 cent fee for plastic bags. Nassau County, Dutchess County, and Sullivan County are currently discussing similar laws. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Amanda Purcell reports for Columbia Green Media that Hudson residents can comment about possible designs for the new Ferry Street Bridge 6:30 p.m. October 29th at the Hudson Area Library on North 5th Street. The bridge, which crosses the CSX Amtrak railroad tracks near the train station, had been deemed unsafe for vehicles since 2014. Built in 1905, the current 69-foot structure is a single-span steel pony truss bridge that takes cars to a boat launch parking lot. Mayor Rick Rector, Superintendent of Public Works Rob Perry, and design firm Creighton Manning will hear what the public has to say about a replacement at the meeting. Quote, it's an opportunity for the community to see initial design proposals of the bridge and engage in conversations with the involved officials, unquote, Rector said. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. I'm Tom Rowe. You've been listening to the WGXC News. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show?
Would you like to do a show?
Chocolate pigs are awesome.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Did you hear that?
No.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeple. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curve. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
Next, we have these reports.
This is the WGXC Congressional Report. Stories about the New York 19 Congressional District from the past week and Representative John Faso and his Democratic counterpart Antonio Delgado and other candidates in the race to be the representative in New York's District 19.
The 538.com website currently reports that John Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 89.2% of the time, the same as last week. 538.com also currently predicts Faso has a 40.2% chance of winning re-election, rating Democrat Antonio Delgado with a 59.8% chance of winning.
The Daily Freeman reports that actor Diane Neal will be on the ballot in the New York 19th congressional election November 6. On October 11th, the State Court of Appeals denied a petition to appeal the previous attempt to keep Neal off the ballot by Rhinebeck resident Rima Liscombe. A lower court ruled that Neal's petitions for an independent line on the ballot lacked sufficient signatures. Neal may not have collected the proper signatures, but the appellate division agreed that she was not properly served notice of the deficiencies with her petitions. Neal said in a press release, "This is a win for those who are tired of power brokers shoving the two-party system down our throats. We surpassed the high number of signatures they required us to get, so they challenged that. Then they went to court to appeal our victory that got us on the ballot. There are no more obstacles they can throw at us. Today's a win for democracy," end quote. Neal was required to get the same number of signatures as other candidates. Incumbent Republican John Faso, the Republican from Kinderhook, Democrat Antonio Delgado, a Rhinebeck resident, and Green Party candidate Steve Greenpill of New Platts. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Logan Weiss is reporting for Columbia Green Media that a large crowd packed into the Kinderhook Elks Lodge October 13th. For a town hall meeting held by Democrat Antonio Delgado, a candidate in the 19th congressional district race. The gathering was held in the hometown of Delgado's opponent, Republican U.S. Representative John Faso. For Delgado, it was his seventh town hall meeting of the campaign. Delgado was introduced by Peter Volkman, the village police chief in Chatham. He touted Delgado's educational background, his honest character, and the overall idea of how voting is part of American life. In his remarks, Delgado quipped about his background, quote, "You have probably heard about one of my jobs I had," unquote, he said, referencing Faso's political commercials denigrating the Democrats' former music career. His speech covered a range of issues, including inequality, Medicaid, Medicare, women's rights, and education. Delgado also took several shots at his opponent and critics, pointing out that Faso is not hosting any town halls. Questions from attendees concerned Medicare, the new Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, water contamination in Hoosick Falls, prisons, the opioid epidemic, mental health, immigration, term limits, and climate change. The general election is November 6th. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Eliza Collins reports in USA Today that former Speaker of the House Paul Ryan is hitting the road to campaign for Representative John Faso and other Republicans. Faso, the incumbent Republican from Kinderhook, does not have any events listed on his public schedule webpage, but the newspaper says Ryan starts his campaign swing October 15th. Quote, the Speaker knows that every Republican he is joining on the trail during this final sprint would offer better ideas than their Democratic opponents, unquote, said Kevin Seifert, executive director of Ryan's political operation. Faso is in a close race for re-election with Democrat Antonio Delgado. Read the full story in USA Today.
David Lombardo reports in the Albany Times-Union that Democrat Antonio Delgado raised far more money for his campaign in the past 3 months than his Republican opponent, incumbent John Faso. Delgado from Rhinebeck raised $3.35 million in contributions, while Faso from Kinderhook brought in $977,617. According to federal election filings, Delgado has $1.75 million to spend before Election Day, and Faso has $1.4 million. Chris Martin, the regional press secretary for the National Republican Campaign Committee, admitted that Democrats, and I quote, are energized, end quote, but said, and I quote, at the end of the day, these are Republican districts, end quote. But a Democratic strategist disagreed. Evan Stavinsky said, and I quote, a lot of people talk about a blue wave, but there has also been a green wave. It's been absolutely a story of the election. For Faso, 66.7% of his donations came from individuals rather than political action committees. Delgado raised 94.2% from individuals. Read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. Matthew Nancy reports at The Fray that the four debates between Republican incumbent John Faso and Democrat Antonio Delgado begin this week. Two will discuss issues in the 19th congressional district election on Friday, October 19th at 1 p.m., hosted by WMHT. On Monday, October 22nd at 1 p.m., hosted by WAMC. On Tuesday, October 23rd at 7:30 p.m., at the Woodstock Playhouse, hosted by Spectrum News, and Monday, October 29th at 7 p.m. at SUNY Sullivan, hosted by the Times Herald Record. Faso and actor and independent candidate Diane Neal and the Green Party's Steve Greenfield discuss issues October 16th at a forum in Delaware County at the Walton Theater that Delgado could not attend. Read the full story at The Fray.
On Saturday, October 13th, Democrat Antonio Delgado was in Avril Park speaking to potential voters ahead of the November 6th election, where he's trying to unseat incumbent Republican John Faso from Kinderhook. WOOCLP, our partner station in Troy, recorded these Delgado remarks.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Are you
WOOC Radio in Troy?
Okay, thank you.
All right. WOCC Radio in Troy.
All right.
There you go.
Thank you.
I wonder if you could talk about the media representation of you coming from the Faso campaign. What's really behind this whole thing about you and hip-hop?
The question was about the media representation of me, and in particular, my time as a hip-hop artist determined to help young people get more civically engaged. To be clear, the mission behind my music was always upliftment. It was always positive. It was always about trying to make sure young people felt inspired to highlight issues that they felt weren't being talked about, whether it was income inequality, whether it was wealth disparity, or a broken system not responding to a lot of people at all. Climate change also, bless you. Climate change was also something that I spoke about in 2006. For those who don't know, the Washington Post recently said that my lyrics were wonky. Let that sink in. Wonky. So my point is that when you deal with art and you pull words deliberately out of context for your own purpose, it's very easy to paint a picture that can generate divisiveness, and it's a nasty, cruel, an ugly way to campaign. And it is a distraction and it is a disservice to the folks who need and deserve better. And you better believe that in me you got somebody who will stand up for what I did then, because what I did then is what I'm doing now, which is speaking truth to power. Yeah. That is what I'm doing. And I can't tell you how moved I am by the support, whether it was the 18 clergy members who came out and wrote a letter calling Faso to shame, or whether it was the local papers and national papers who made it clear, as the Washington Post did, the ads are grossly misleading, or whether it was Dr. Benjamin, a good friend of John Faso, who personally called me to apologize for the ads, or whether it was John Faso's predecessor, Chris Gibson, who went on record saying he regrets the tone of the ads. At every turn, across party lines, people are stepping up and saying, this can't be tolerated. Where is John Faso on this? Why can't he step up and say, we can do better?
Democrat Antonio Delgado announced on Twitter October 20th that former Vice President Joe Biden will be in Kingston for a Get Out the Vote rally with Delgado at 11:30 a.m. Friday, October 26th. And the same day, October 20th, the New York Times endorsed Delgado over Faso in the 19th Congressional District election November 6th.
I hope you'll join me this evening on the Jazz Disturbance. Join the 38 other people who have become sustaining supporters during our pullover pledge drive. Yes, this is Cheryl Kay, host of the Jazz Disturbance since 2001 when this media project called WGXC began. And my goal this evening is to bring at least five of you in to pledge your support, to become a sustaining monthly supporter. You can do that by going to our website, wgxc.org/donate. You can also call us at 518-697-7400. For those of you who would like to mail in your pledge of support to Community Radio, you can mail it to WGXC Care of Wave Farm, 5662 Route 23 in Acre, New York, 12405. This is day 9 of our pledge drive. We're going to only go for another, 5-6 days? You know, only 2 weeks of this. We're not going to drag this out forever. We're asking you as much as we can to keep us on the air. 518-697-7400 or wgxc.org/donate. So many of you do call in. Email us and tell us how much you appreciate us being here covering Greene and Columbia County. As you know, we're on the World Wide Web, WGXC.org. You can come to our website. You can, if you miss a show, whether it's public affairs, whether it's music, or something you wanted to hear during our afternoon or morning show, you can go to our archives, wgxc.org/donate. You've heard all the reasons to support us. Do it now while it's fresh in your mind. wgxc.org/donate. WGXC.org/donate. I have become a sustaining supporter. Yes, indeed. I pledge my support monthly, coming right out of my right off of my credit card. Painless. Don't even think about it. Oh, and also, of course, I lend my voice here to so many others, about 85 of us who volunteer our time to do whatever we do. We bring our passion to you, and it is free to you in a sense. But we can't exist in this building for free. By the way, we're at the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, 369 Warren Street. We've been here since April, and we do have rent to take care of. And that's part of the reason why we're here. 518-697-7400, wgxc.org/donate.
So glad we're back together now. So glad you're here. Got lost in the jungle, out there somewhere. You never know how much I missed you. Yeah, it wasn't the same. Getting by every day without my best friend. Yeah, I'm so glad that we're back together. You and I.
90.7 FM.
Accra, Hudson, Catskill.
Fridays on WGXC are made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Kurt Trumbull of Babylon, New York. Sustaining supporters like Kurt are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Amanda Parcellas reporting for Columbia Green Media. Two men were detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement in a raid conducted in Hudson on October 18th around 8 a.m. ICE spokesman Khalid H. Wall said deportation officers with ICE's enforcement and removal operations executed a, and I quote, targeted enforcement action, end quote, and arrested two Guatemalan nationals between the ages of 21 and 25. The men are charged with administrative immigration violations and are facing deportation, Wall said. ICE would not identify the men or disclose the address that was targeted. Wall said one of the men was being held in the Albany County Correctional Facility, while the other was released with electronic monitoring, and I quote, for humanitarian reasons, end quote. Chief L. Edward Moore said city police were called to assist ICE Thursday morning. One person was reportedly, and I quote, aggravating the ICE agents, end quote, while a second person recorded the incident. Hudson police made no arrest. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. David Lombardo is reporting for Capital Confidential. State Senate hopeful Democrat Aaron Glad of Brunswick has launched television ads in his race against Half Moon Republican Daphne Jordan. They are competing for the seat currently held by Kathy Marchione, who in April announced her retirement. In the 32nd spot, Glad touts his military experience, Adirondack's roots, and plans to reach across the aisle. The district consists of Columbia County and parts of Washington, Rensselaer, and Saratoga counties. Glad's campaign said they intend to spend at least $100,000 on the ads. Jordan began advertising on television last month. Read the full story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. Richard Moody is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The much-anticipated Galvin Motel project in Greenport has been delayed until December, Hudson First Ward Supervisor Sarah Sterling said during a public meeting of the Columbia County Board of Supervisors Health and Human Services Committee on October 19th. The 25-room motel was expected to reopen in June. However, the facility remains under construction. Sterling said, and I quote, Everybody is ready and waiting for the motel to be completed. They said it has seen complications with the septic, end quote. In addition, County Department of Social Services Commissioner Robert Gibson has requested a change to the agreement between the county and the Mental Health Association of Columbia and Greene Counties. Under that agreement, MHA would provide a case manager at the facility to help those temporarily in the residence there. The case manager will help people find jobs, permanent housing, and will follow up on any referrals to other services such as social service or medical appointments, according to Gibson. Under the plan, those who require temporary emergency housing will receive priority at the motel. During the motel's first year of operation, the county will pay the facility developer, the Galvin Foundation, $85 per room. Sterling said, and I quote, "A lot of these motels the county uses to house homeless are awful. The Galvin Motel will be the only one that provides on-site services. The sooner we can get it open, the better," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Brian Nearing is reporting for the Times Union. New York is looking to encourage development of more community-based solar energy projects, particularly in the National Grid territory around the Capital Region. The State Public Service Commission released a staff study this week that called for boosting credits to support so-called, and I quote, distributed energy, end quote, projects, which include solar and wind systems. Part of that proposal identifies National Grid as lagging in goals established under a system meant to encourage more community renewable power systems. National Grid represents roughly 1.6 million electric customers and 600,000 natural gas customers in the Capital Region and at other locations. Under a program called Distributed Energy, National Grid will set aside credits to cover up to more than 470 megawatts of new renewable energy projects. So far, only 90 megawatts have gone in, according to the PSC report. Other utilities, such as Central Hudson and Orange and Rockland, have already gone through their credits. The credits were created as a temporary transition from net metering to distributed energy. Renewable energy advocates say the proposed changes could help stimulate more renewable energy projects in the state. The PSC is taking comments on the proposal through October 22nd. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXE website, WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grand. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Why not right now? Why not pledge right now? We're in the midst of our pullover pledge drive here at WGXE. Hopefully this will be a game changer. That's the idea. And as Chocolate Milk would have it, action does speak louder than words. So consider pledging 518-697-7400 or do it online, as so many do. So many. You don't really hear the familiar sound of the phones in the background. When I got my start in community radio, that was always the soundtrack. WGXE.org/donate. Do it from the comfort of your home. Or pull over if you're in your car. Pull over, do it safely. Good, safe, well-lit spot. And do it online. 518-697-7400 or online WGXE.org/donate. We wish to thank the ongoing support of Lisbeth Ortiz of Catskill. She's pledged this morning. Thank you so much, Lisbeth. And huge thanks to Diana Abadi of Athens, who stopped by the Catskill studio to pledge her very, very generous support. So we're making some headway, and we appreciate it. The whole point of the pullover pledge drive, as I attempted to mention, I think I attempted to mention earlier in the first mic break, is to try to alter the trajectory, as it were, of what has been happening, at least in the 7 years I've been involved with WGXC. I think the station's been on a little bit longer than I've been here, probably going on eight. So instead of having multiple pledge drives throughout the year, breaking up our programming flow, the idea is to have a stable source, a sustainable, stable source of income to keep this community radio station on the air. Something very important, I think, in these times of mass media and consolidation and under the backdrop of fake news and partisan division. This is a station that works in concert with the community and the wide range of community that is extant here in Greene and Columbia County in the upper Hudson Valley. And so by having the stable source, we can better plan what we need to do during the year. And the pledge drive that we would undertake, I mean, this is the idea, as it was explained to me, would be it wouldn't be so desperate, you know. We would have the foundational support that would pay the essential bills. And then whatever else we're trying to raise is to go to improve the quality of our equipment or to, you know, gather other types of programming that you need to pay for. Although I believe the effort here at the station, as it has been since day one, has been to find voices, local voices that are otherwise underrepresented, and to put them on the air. And it's a laudable, laudable thing. I have mentioned this in a couple of other mic breaks over the course of the sundry pledge drive shows I've done. I got involved with WGXC simply by walking down the street in Catskill. At the time, there was a Catskill studio in a storefront at the Catskill Community Center on Main Street. And I was walking by and I met gentleman Matt Bua, who used to be deeply involved in the station. And within a couple of weeks, I was co-hosting the Wednesday afternoon show, just like that. So 518-697-7400, or do it online at wgxc.org/donate. Let's keep this experiment going.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Next, we have these reports.
Hudson Mohawk Magazine correspondent Corinne Carey attended a debate between candidates for the 107th Assembly District, an area that runs from the town of Cambridge to Hillsdale and includes parts of Troy and Albany.
On Wednesday, October 17th, the Eastwick Press sponsored a candidate debate between Democrat Tistria Hotling and Republican Jake Ashby, candidates vying to represent the 107th Assembly District here in New York. The candidates took questions from a panel of journalists and then from the audience. We'll hear excerpts from each of the candidates' opening statements and then clips from answers to questions from the panel and the audience.
Thank all of you for coming out and being here tonight. And I do also want to thank my opponent, Jake Ashby, who is a veteran, for his service to our country. I think it's very important that we ensure that our veterans have access to the services that they deserve. As the town clerk, I've fought very hard to ensure that all of my residents have access to services. In New Lebanon, we're a rural community and we're 45 minutes away from Hudson, where the services are located. So we've worked on bringing those services out into our rural community to ensure that people have access. That is why I've become a public servant. I think it's very important that all people have access to the support that they need to thrive. Unfortunately, right now, our government is not working for us. We have a head of the EPA that does not believe in climate change. We have a head of the Education Department that does not believe in publicly funded education. We have a tax plan that benefits the billionaires while the working class struggles. Here in New York State, we have to push back against the environmental rollbacks that are happening. We have to ensure that we have clean water to drink and clean air to breathe. We need to protect the funding to our schools to ensure that all children have access to a quality education. And we have to fight back against the tax plan to ensure that the breaks to the billionaires don't fall on the backs of our seniors and our working class. My name is Tistria Hoatley. I'm a mother, a local town clerk, and a part-time music teacher. I was born and raised in New Lebanon, New York, and now my husband Steve and I are raising our three children in New Lebanon. We're a blue-collar working-class family, and like many of you, we are fed up with the results that we get from Albany. We work hard, we pay our taxes, and we expect our state representatives to be there for us when our communities struggle, or worse, face a crisis. Unfortunately, for too long, the 107th Assembly District has gotten no results from Albany. While corrupt politicians hold office, our residents are facing a drinking water crisis in Nassau and Hoosick Falls and Petersburg. Too many of our young people are falling victim to the opioid crisis. We have crumbling roads and infrastructure, and too many communities that still don't have access to broadband internet. We have dairy farmers that are falling deeper and deeper into debt in a state that has almost 20 million people for them to deliver the fruits of their labor. The people of Rensselaer, Washington, and Columbia County deserve better. We deserve results, and we deserve a voice. My name is Tistria Hoatling. I am not running to be something. I am running to do something. Thank you.
My name is Jake Ashby, and I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. I'm proud to be serving as your assemblyman and to represent my neighbors as a committed and independent voice for upstate. Four generations of the Ashby family live in this assembly district, and this is one of the reasons why I'm running for this seat. I have a commitment to serving others and working to make a difference in their lives, serving country and community. This is what led me to join the Army after the September 11th attacks. I was initially rejected for medical reasons, but I appealed to my Congressman Mike McNulty to earn my commission. In the Army, I served with combat units in Iraq and Afghanistan. I worked to bring freedom and stability to desperate areas. I stood up to tribal leaders who wanted to keep their people, especially women and young children, oppressed. When we were in Africa, we worked with local leaders to provide medical care. We coordinated the successful delivery of medical services, including life-changing surgeries, malaria prevention strategies, and aid to mothers infected with HIV. When I returned from these deployments, I continued to serve others as an occupational therapist, eventually starting my own practice. I know firsthand the difficulties our seniors and those facing medical challenges encounter every day. This is not something I've read about. This is something I do and have done for the last 16 years. As you can see, I'm not afraid of a fight. I'm not afraid to stand up to our governor when I think he's wrong. I'm not afraid to stand up to my own party when I think they're wrong. I had to fight to get into the Assembly, winning a special election when I was outspent 5-1. My commitment to serve you and to protect taxpayers, create new opportunities, safeguard freedoms, ensure clean drinking water, and erase corruption at every opportunity I get.
One of the first questions was about economic development in the region. We'll hear first from Jake Ashby.
That's a good question. I can tell you what we're not. We're not thinking of starting a movie theater in Syracuse, paying $15 million for it, promising 350 jobs, and only getting one job for it, then having to sell it to Onondaga County for a dollar. That's economic development under this governor. That's economic development under the Democrat Party. We're not talking about Startup New York, which, again, we're investing over $64 million in again. What have we gotten out of it, other than frustration, other than a want for a better small business climate in our area? We're not talking about things like that. I know that the minority, the Republican minority, is fighting against ideas like this, and I'm going to continue to do so.
We need to look at our issues here in this district, and we need to combine them. So as I'm knocking on doors, I'm hearing there's a real need for quality jobs. We also have a senior aging population that needs ways to age comfortably in their own homes. So we need to link those two things together and create quality jobs for people to come in and care for our seniors, which is less expensive than nursing home care. And so we need to look at how we are keeping money local. I'd like to look at options to have caveats in our procurement policy that says if we're buying milk for our prisons and our schools, we're buying them from dairy farmers right here in New York State. Let's keep our money in our economy. When we look at things like tax breaks for the Walmarts and the Amazons of the world, yet small businesses are struggling to survive, we need to stop the race to the bottom, and we need to figure out how to encourage small business growth. And so I think we're looking at things backwards. We're letting the rich get richer, we're giving tax breaks to the large corporations, and we're taking our jobs out of the district. We need to look at how to keep our money and our economy thriving right here in New York State.
A member of the audience asked a question about healthcare, stating that $18,000 was the cost for covering a family of three.
I hear you. Here in the United States, we pay the highest per person for healthcare, the highest in the world. Yet, we're 24th for life expectancy. So what that means is we're paying the most money, and we're not getting the best care. We have pharmaceutical companies. We have insurance companies that are making billions of dollars off of us being sick. We need to take the profit out of our healthcare industry. In 2009, 46% of bankruptcies that were filed here in the United States were filed because of medical reasons. Almost half of the people that had to declare bankruptcy did it because they or someone in their family got sick or injured. Like you said in your question, we're already paying the money. It's not like going to a single-payer system means that we're paying money that we weren't paying before. Right now, we're paying at $18,000 a year for health insurance. I'm going to assume when you go to the doctor, you're paying co-pays, you're paying deductibles, right? So that it doesn't end there. $18,000 a year doesn't mean that you get all your medical care covered. So single payer means we're taking the profit away from the pharmaceutical companies, which is why they've spent so much money lobbying against it, because they don't want to lose out on all that money. And all it's doing is paying for it in a different way.
We have single payer. We have Medicaid in New York State. We have $160 billion budget for Medicaid. We also have the VA, which is the second largest federal budget that we have. Having worked in healthcare for the last 16 years and trying to work with the VA and Medicaid, I can tell you that it's atrocious. When we talk about increasing the cost for this, you also have to consider the impact that that's going to have on quality and accessibility. And we've seen that over the course of the years in New York State as our Medicare budget has continued to grow and grow and grow, and the same with the VA. I'm not for that. I'm for quality health care.
One of the most divisive questions of the evening was on the legalization of marijuana. The candidates held distinctly different positions, and so did the audience.
I am in support of the legalization of recreational marijuana. I have a few reasons. The first reason is that I worked in the court system, the local court system, for 6 years. What I saw is our police officers spending time, resources to issue tickets. Then the court staff, myself, time, resources to process tickets. Then we had the judge, we had the DA's office, we had the public defender in most of these cases. We spent a lot of time, money, and resources. And at the end of the day, you know what happened? Nothing. We said, it's okay. It's pretty much already legal. But what we're doing is we're spending time, money, and resources to go through this whole process to say, you're going to walk away and it's fine. The second reason is instead of spending all this money to do something that's pretty much already okay in our state, we could actually be making money. Colorado last year made $247 million. We're three times the population of Colorado. That's almost $750 million. We talked earlier about the opioid crisis, treatment. Where's the funding going to come from? Let's take that $700 million from legalizing marijuana and put it into treating a real drug addiction that needs services and help and treatment.
I do not support the legalization. It sounded a lot to what my opponent was saying, that she was looking more at the decriminalization of it rather than the legalization of it. But when we look at Colorado, even from a publication like the Denver Post, been several articles that have been written on what it's done to the social welfare system within Denver, Boulder, and Pueblo, and the costs that the criminal justice system that's having, that the impact that it's having over there has been extremely detrimental.
There was some agreement between the two candidates on the issue of term limits, fighting corruption, and also addressing the opioid epidemic. But there were stark differences in their positions on immigration and the support of Sheriff Russo's implementation of the 287G program, fracking, and the SAFE Act.
I'm in favor of repealing the SAFE Act. in its entirety. I'm the only candidate here that's endorsed by NYSERPA, and I take all of our rights seriously. There's things going on right now with the SAFE Act that I don't think many people are aware of because of the fact that it was passed through a message of necessity in the middle of the night, and it was written so poorly that even our law enforcement officers were in violation of the law the very next day, and they had to go back and they had to re-amend it. We have people right now that are getting their pistol permits revoked by surrogate judges in the county because they're following the law, they're following New York State guidance. Where's the due process? I am a pro-2A candidate, and you know I will continue to fight for that.
So my husband is an avid hunter. We are a responsible gun-owning family. We have about 20 guns in the house, locked safely in a gun safe. I grew up with guns. My dad was a hunter. I learned how to shoot as a child, and I learned about gun safety. I'm also a mother. I'm also a community member. I'm also a concerned citizen. I don't think this is an either-or issue. I think that we can protect the Second Amendment and the rights of responsible gun owners like my husband while still keeping our children and our families safe. What can we agree on? Can we agree that we need to keep the guns out of the wrong hands? I think we could all agree on that. So how do we do that? Can we all agree that we don't need a weapon of war? A weapon that Mr. Ashby and Mr. Glad went through extensive training in the military to learn how to use.
The candidates also had distinctly different approaches to expanding broadband access to internet service.
As we see the small business climate improve in our region, that we will see internet be brought out to these areas. It's a matter of infrastructure. And when we're able to bring and augment our abilities to have this infrastructure in these areas, we're going to see internet come out there as well.
Jake mentioned small businesses. Expand small businesses and the internet will come. I disagree. I think expand the internet and the small businesses will come.
Incumbent Republican Jake Ashby will face off against his Democratic challenger, Tistria Hoetling, in the general election, which will be held on Tuesday, November 6th.
That was Hudson Mohawk Magazine correspondent Corinne Carey with a report from the candidate debate sponsored by the Eastwick Press between incumbent Republican Assemblyman Jake Ashby and his challenger, Democratic Tistria Hoetling.
I'll remind our listeners that we are in the middle of a pledge drive. And more importantly, Ellen and I, excuse me from sucking on my lozenge, but Ellen and I have both upped our sustaining support of the station. And that sustaining support goes to Slaceland. Sorry, I got the lozenge sometimes sticks to my stuff here.
This is too much. I'm not sure I'm going to get through this show, folks.
The lozenge. These lozenges are like really something. Excuse me.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, creative community magical radio.
I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.